Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune, is with me. Season preview time. Let's get right to it. Spring training is over. Ryan, where do you want to start?
Let's start with the news. At least one Padres All-Star is going to open the season on the injured list. Another beloved Padre is going to open the season also on the injured list. He's a starting pitcher. Let's start with Jason Adam. Looks as if he will be on the IL. What does that mean for the roster and whose roles will change here starting Thursday against the Tigers?
Well, I think it virtually assures that Ron Marinaccio and Bradley Rodriguez will be on the roster at the start of the season. Now, we'll see. April 6th, both Jason Adam and lefty Yuki Matsui can come off the IL. Don't know that Matsui would be ready by then. The assumption is Jason Adam will be. That's cool because Marinaccio is out of options, and this gives them a chance to see more of what they saw in spring and then the WBC and decide where they're going to go with that. He could be the guy who sticks for a while longer. Bradley Rodriguez, hard throwing, young guy, awesome. Also having a little trouble with the strike zone recently. David Morgan, Jeremiah Estrada, little trouble with the strike zone. All of them highly successful in spring training. Now, we'll see what happens. You go the season, it matters. You're facing major leaguers on a consistent basis. But I just wanted to point that out, that was a little troubling there. So, roles. Well, Adrian Morejon and Jason Adam probably were, depending on the situation, who was coming up, they're your eighth inning guys, right? Before Mason Miller in games the Padres are leading, by just a little bit or tied. And so Morejon definitely in the eighth inning, Estrada in the seventh, and you got David Morgan. And honestly, it appears to be a pretty stacked bullpen that can withstand this, though, 2 weeks without Jason Adam, we'll see how it goes. But they wanted to make sure that not only we're talking about the defense, Jason Adam coming back from that quad tendon rupture in September. Guy's been pitching since December, facing hitters almost all spring, but not doing all the defensive work, leaping off the mound, kind of unpredictable stuff. So, but as much as that, it's like, Jason Adam led the major leagues in appearances at the time he was hurt last September 1st. If you're going to make him active, you've got to know he can go back to back, which he didn't do in spring. You've got to know he can go 3 out of 4. He can go 4 out of 6. And they didn't feel comfortable putting him in that situation. Boom, right out of the gate.
Yeah, agreed. And one of the reasons why the Padres are going to lean on that bullpen so much is because the starting pitching, Kevin, is a problem at the moment. Joe Musgrove is going to start the season on the injured list. You look at the ERAs of their starting pitchers in spring, and I know, take it with a grain of Peoria, Arizona salt. I get it. But this could be a big problem. What are you hearing from your people who are close to the Padres? On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are they about the starting pitching?
I'll average it out and say that it's a 6. If 10 is a fire, a 5-alarm fire, then it's a 6. There's no denying that they know that it is the potential weakness of their team. Now, they feel very good about their bullpen. They feel pretty good about their offense. Okay, if you're going to say what's the weakness of your team, but no, it's more than relative weakness. This is the potential for trouble. And you pointed out with the ERAs, we won't even give specifics about what these guys did in spring because it is spring, but your point is entirely valid. I mean, it was awful. And they finished awful. Walker Buehler, Randy Vasquez, Michael King, Nick Pivetta, in their final turns, gave up a combined 12 home runs, at least 2 apiece. And there would be all of them had good innings, 13, 15 pitch, 1, 2, 3 innings, and then 2 bombs in an inning. And I think Michael gave up 4, Nick gave up 3. It was bad, and Randy had a really nice spring. Germán Márquez, who will be the 5th starter, he finished nice yesterday as we tape this on Tuesday. 1 run in 4 2/3. He's made some mechanical adjustments. I'll write about those before his start. That all started on opening day. Michael King, Randy Vasquez, I'd assume Walker Buehler Monday against the Giants, and then Márquez on Tuesday, Pivetta closing out the homestand. Pivetta needs to be who he was, right? Like, I mean, I don't know what you think. Like, it's funny, we talk about it all the time, and it's my one of my favorite things, and then it makes it my least favorite thing when we talk about previews and what has to happen. Like, Nick Pivetta, what if he isn't good, but or as good, but Randy Vasquez makes this incredible leap? I mean, but what we can say with certainty, right, Ryan, is like those three guys, King, Vasquez, Pivetta, two of them really need to be the pillars. At least.
Yeah. I mean, for this team to be good, really good, playoff contender, make a run in the playoff good, you're counting on, and we're just going to go down the line here, Nick Pivetta to replicate last season, which is an outlier when looking at his career numbers. One, Joe Musgrove to be serviceable slash good, returning from Tommy John surgery. Michael King to be serviceable slash good, returning from weird shoulder and knee stuff. Randy Vasquez to take a giant step forward and do something he's never done before in the big leagues. Okay. And then somebody like Walker Buehler or Germán Márquez for those lottery tickets to come in. And that's asking a lot. I'm going to ask a totally speculative, loaded question. And you don't have to answer if you don't want to answer. If the Padres have a new owner this time a month from now, will that new owner go pick up a starting pitcher? Because there's at least one or two still out there who could really help even a team like the Padres.
Well, I mean, if Lucas Giolito is available, yeah, and I'll be blown away if someone doesn't sign him, especially someone like the Braves, you know, but there's always trades to be made. And I'll answer because you asked, and I'll answer because it was on my mind that we should talk about it. Not only do you have Griffin Canning coming back probably in May, maybe June. When I say coming back, you know, coming back for him, he's going to join the Padres rotation. And, you know, we'll see, but that's something to look forward to for them. You also have the most likely new owner and most likely slash definitely going to have more money. And will the Padres hope, the people that are going to be involved in making these decisions, hope that will, I don't know if, you know, we would look at it as want to make a splash. How about just want to make the team better? Because what you're buying, and I think it's like a no-brainer, because what you're buying is a team that is successful in a market where it's the only major league team, but is also successful because it has been good. Like, that's just a fact about fans almost anywhere that haven't had generational success and can't rely on that to be like, oh, you know, it's the place to be, and we're always going to support these guys. Like, they need to keep winning. They need to keep interesting the people of San Diego. And so I would think that's really important for the new owner.
And keep in mind, the TV revenue is practically non-existent. The number one way to make money if you're the San Diego Padres is to fill the stadium. And the number one way to fill the stadium, it's not beach towels and bobbleheads. It was for 30 years here, but it's not beach towels and bobbleheads anymore. It's winning. It's making moves. It's being aggressive. It's keeping fans believing that they can make that next step as a club, I think. And, you know, to me, that's actually sort of this great symbiotic relationship, right? I mean, the LA Dodgers would print money even if nobody ever came to a game. The San Diego Padres need fan attendance. They need to be selling those $18 IPAs. They need to be selling new City Connect gear, right? For them to make money, because their TV money is so much less than what you see with some of these other big market clubs.
Yes, absolutely. And they have locked themselves in by virtue of another, you know, high season ticket base. They've locked them into a certain amount of attendance. But these last couple of years, having surpassed those numbers that they projected, like, they make a little extra, and that that helps. But like, in terms of the new owner, that's, yeah, you're buying that. You're not buying the 2015 or 18 or 19 Padres. You're buying this Padres version, which includes their fans. Yep. And it, so, you know, that's the hope slash belief that people in the know have that will happen when the new owner comes in. And that could be as early as early April.
Wow. Wow. Just May, Kevin, you cover an interesting team. They're not always good, but my goodness, they're always interesting, aren't they?
Yeah, and the great thing is the last 6 years, those 2 years, they weren't good. There were times that were not fun to be around, but they were interesting. And you know, you could say they even contended to the end, even though we knew both in 21 and 23 that they weren't going to, but man, they crashed spectacularly. Something you can always count on.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the Padres superstars here for a minute. To our listeners, if you haven't read Kevin's excellent takeout story about Fernando Tatis Jr., it ran in Sunday's newspaper. It's been online since Saturday. It's still pinned at the top of our sports landing page and our Padres landing page. Please go read it. Same thing for the story that ran in today's paper about Manny Machado and them trying to get Manny off his feet a little bit more this year. Neither of those guys hit at all in spring. At all. Is there any cause for concern with either one of those two guys as the season opens?
So let's take Fernando first. He did hit the WBC now, right, largely against inferior pitching, but he did hit there. He hit balls hard and he walked a lot in spring. That can often be a good sign, but yeah, what did he hit? Like, I think 222, which was exactly double of Manny. I think Manny at 111. The more concerning, I guess, if you're going to go off spring numbers, is Manny. I mean, hit the ball on the ground a lot, hit the ball hard a lot, but he always hits the ball hard. Look, some of Manny's best seasons, he's had incredible springs. I mean, look at 2018. But he's also had really good seasons after having bad springs. I think in 24, he had a bad spring. And remember, at the start of 24, or he had a good spring in 24, and the start of 24 sucked until June. So, like, I'm reluctant to read anything into it, but it certainly is notable. It's notable that, like, there wasn't a whole lot there. Like, Freddie Fermin had excellent spring, just rifling balls around the ballpark. Jackson Merrill, the final numbers weren't great, but man, you saw a lot there. Xander Bogaerts had a good spring. Jake Cronenworth had a fantastic spring. Gavin Sheets heated up. So yeah, like, these two guys that are super, super important. You know, look, the season starts, and that's what I love. Every year that passes, I put less and less and less on the spring. I will say this. Manny, I forget, what did he hit? 300 in the WBC, didn't hit any homers, think had a double. Right before the WBC, he went on a tear. So it was like he was ramping up for the WBC, right? Mm-hmm. Hit like three home runs in three games or two games, two in one game at a grand slam. And then went to the WBC and went, did okay. And I think if you've been following Manny, zero surprise at all that he would come back from the WBC and not look good.
Right. Right.
It's Kevin, like, such a letdown. It was a letdown for me, but such a letdown coming back from the WBC.
Right. The Padres will open the season. It looks to me, Kevin, tell me if I'm wrong, against two lefties, Tarek Skubal, the two-time reigning AL Cy Young Award winner, and then Framber Valdez, another very good lefty recently acquired from the Astros. Look into our crystal ball here. What's that lineup going to look like against both of those guys?
Well, could be Tatis at the top after all the talk. I don't know that anyone else, you said that anyone else worked out well. Plus this one thing that I talked about before the WBC, talked about during the WBC, talked about after. Let's talk about it again. What the WBC showed, not that you're going to go out and field the Dominicans lineup, but Fernando Tatis Jr. batting first in the order, so then what that becomes is behind guys batting seventh, eighth, ninth, after your first time up, right? Mm-hmm. That works out because guys are on base. Mm-hmm. Well, Freddie Fermin is probably going to bat eighth or ninth. Ramon Laureano could bat ninth. Jake Cronenworth, if a left-hander is starting, would be down near the bottom. If those guys are doing what they did at the end of last season for the final 2 months of the season, what they did in spring, what the Padres expect and need them to do, then Fernando batting first is fine. I think against righties, which means 70% of the time, at least at the start, if he's doing what he did in spring, if he's doing what he did last season, I think Jake Cronenworth's the leadoff hitter.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I mean, certainly not your typical, prototypical leadoff hitter, but makes a lot of sense. You like leading off lefty?
Right.
Gets on
base. He has a lot of attributes. Yeah.
He does. He does. One more thing, and then I'll hit you with more rapid fire questions here. Well, one more thing here. Ty France made the club, but a decision is coming here because it appears as if Sun Moon Song will be back sooner rather than later, sometime in April, it appears. How do we see that shaking out? And when he comes back, is he replacing Ty France?
Well, I mean, very well could. That is the logical one, because what you have now is Ty France is your backup second baseman. You don't have a backup shortstop. So if something happened to Xander Bogaerts in a game, let's say, Jake Cronenworth would slide over to short, Ty France would go in to play second base. It's early in the season. They have off days. It's not an issue that they don't necessarily have a true middle infield backup. That's why Ty France made the team based on his bat, and, you know, Mason McCoy's in the minors. But yeah, that could be the thing. The other thing is, though, Nick Castellanos plays the outfield. Miguel Andujar plays the outfield. Do they send, are they willing to part with Bryce Johnson if Ty France has, you know, a home run and a double and got hit by two pitches in the first 7-8 games before Sung Moon Song, get my hyphenated Korean names and my, infielders mixed up, but Sung Moon Song, he comes back. Like, someone's got to go, and they risk losing someone. Bryce Johnson would have to clear waivers, and Ty France would have to clear waivers, and Ty France's $1.35 million is guaranteed. So you lose him, and you paid $1.35 million for a couple weeks. That's just hard for me to think that the Padres can stomach. They made all these decisions, like keeping Ty France, knowing the situation. So that will be a really interesting thing.
Nice. Humor me. I'm going to ask you three roster questions. Okay. Do we see Alex Verdugo in Padres pinstripes this year?
I believe so. Things are set up well for a guy who has impressed them enough that they weren't going to bring him up to Cactus League games. They brought him up for a couple at the end. They needed him because you know how it gets at the end of Cactus League. He's impressed them with his how he's worked, how he's fit in, all that stuff, the attitude. So now he goes down to El Paso, which is a place that you think he would hit if he can still hit. So I think he gets a shot.
Okay. Will we see Jose Leclerc in Padres pinstripes this year?
You know, I haven't been able to dig into this. I'm confused as to why the Padres are the only smart team that was able to sign this guy who was such a really good reliever. And if you're certain that he's going to be back by, you know, July or August or something, like, why was he available on the last day of spring training? I really don't know. What I could tell you is it's another pay nothing and maybe get a reward situation.
Yep, and it's another Texas Ranger joining the San Diego Padres. Last one, most controversial one, will we see Ethan Salas in Padres pinstripes this year?
I would think it might depend on, obviously, the part of the premise that you're asking is how does Luis Campusano do, right? Mm-hmm. Not a great spring offensively. I don't think so. I really don't. I think that they've rushed, and I don't mean that in like a bad way. Like, that's what the Padres do to guys they believe in, right? Mm-hmm. They put you on a fast track, and I think they've done that enough with Ethan Salas, right? Mm-hmm. And he hasn't really responded, say, in the way that like Fernando Tatis Jr., okay? I mean, is that a knock against Ethan Salas? How many Fernando Tatis Jr.'s are there, right? So I think the odds are against it. First off, Luis Campusano has to do poorly. And or, you know, he or Freddie Fermin have to get hurt. Rodolfo Duran, Blake Hunt are certainly more ready. And then it has to be up to Salas to be able to hit. And so, no, I don't think so. Though valid question.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode. And today is no different. This is a warm and cuddly one. Do you still get excited about opening day?
I get excited about day two.
Tony, opening day. Yes.
I absolutely get excited about opening day. It's look, the reality is, I mean, I love my job. It's awesome job. I'm just so grateful for it. And I mean that like wholeheartedly. I cannot express it enough how often, and it happened yesterday as I was walking around an empty baseball field talking on the phone to someone. I just thought to myself, you're so freaking lucky. I really did. So I say all that to say, look, there is 6 months of airports and hotels and missed flights and absolute morons on planes who don't know how to be in social situations, and players and people getting mad at me and me being very tired. So yeah, it's the start of a lot. So I'm ecstatic. And then I like, you get to day two, fewer people there covering it. And you're like, okay, I'm going to just settle into this thing and try to survive it again and do the best job that I can. That was a long answer when the answer could have been, yeah, I get really stoked.
Kevin, do me a favor. Don't read any stories about the lines at the San Diego airport. Don't read it. Don't read it. You don't fly until Sunday, right?
I'm really hoping they've got,
a week from now. Anyway, you fly
in my airline on that side, they don't have clear. So that doesn't help me. I'm hoping they've put in the touchless TSA on my airline, that part of Terminal 2. My wife's airline, they have all that stuff in San Diego, but that's the nice part of Terminal 2. Mine's the part that needs to be refurbished. So yeah, that'll be tough.
Yeah. By the way, this is what we're going to do. JK, John Kelly, write this down. At some point in the middle of the season, when they're playing somebody we don't care about, when they're playing like the Cardinals, we're going to do something. Just Kevin AC talks about airport travel. I want Kevin AC travel tips. I want airport reviews. I want a list of the 5 best and the 5 worst. Let's do it. I
want your 5 things. I want, I want also, I'll lay out for you the test I would give that every passenger has to take before they can buy a ticket. And it would be like an online thing where, you know, like a certain timed thing. And like you do for when you have traffic school, about airplane etiquette. Like,
yes.
Seems common sense to me, and here's the thing. I know that every frequent traveler that's listening to this or watching is like, amen, Kevin, amen, Kevin. And every other person is, what a jerk that guy is.
The guy who goes to baseball games and flies around the country to watch baseball. Kevin, I'm with you. Anybody, when I used to fly for work all the time, it would drive me absolutely nuts. The worst one is the person who gets to airport security and acts as if it's their first time ever going through. They walk through and they have a belt and they need to take the belt off. They walk through, they have shoes and you take the shoes off. You just sit there ready to just do it. Yes, absolutely. Kevin, we come in at right 25 minutes. My promise to you, our listeners this year, we're going to try to keep it at about 25 minutes every episode. Padres, Kike, opening day, Thursday, Petco. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.